problem. It's deteriorating, so it's actually going to come down, but the family is very aware of it, and there's no memorial sentimental value. Doesn't mean that the public's not going to scream that it is. But so things like that, we've researched that, and there's not an issue there. But really the rationale behind it is to give everyone a fair, sustainable, and consistent management practices. This will help the cities and the counties just say, hey, we'd like to help you, but it's managed under USFD 1. Some of the things in discussing this with the other entities is, for the cities, kind of, it seemed like a different program. If the cities or the county wanted to recognize somebody, that there's different recognition programs to do. And Naples had mentioned, like, Citizen of the Year. In their community, I think that's a great thing. They have a plaque, maybe put a name there at the city building, and I think that helps that community recognize somebody. But we don't want to get into, like, who's allowed to have a memorial, if you have enough money or if you don't, and who maintains it for the next 30 years, or and then what it is. So we felt like a policy would be the most fair opportunity. This current policy has just discussion purposes. I've already went to Vernal City and Naples, and then Ballard I go in 2 weeks. But the USSD 1 board, which has a representative of each one of those, have all looked at it, and nothing has changed in this policy, but it doesn't mean it can't. After I finish talking with Ballard, if there's no questions or problems, we feel that USSD 1 will adopt the policy, and then it could come back to each of the entities for formal acknowledgement, and if you feel that you need to adopt it into your policy. But a formal acknowledgement would, I think, would be good.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. Just I know our legal's not here, so I can't ask this question. But where the cities and the county own the parks, and you're USSD 1 is managing them, I would think we would need to pass something because we own them; it's our property, and then you guys could pass one. I don't know if it can go backwards. I don't know. That's just a legal question. That's all I wanted to ask.
Think they're going to. I mean, I think that if you passed one, if you felt that you needed to pass one, you know, pass one on. Remember the main and the section of the city park. I guess if that's what you felt you needed to do.
So that's just something we'll get with legal.
Okay.
To see what,
and I
what
can,
the right
I can get Mike to get with Lauren too, okay. And show up to him.
That'd be great. Perfect.
Well, I'm looking at in section 5, basically, you're talking about recognition opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes right on to general donations to parks and recreation programs will be accepted.
That is more for, so like, there's an individual down in Naples that we're coming right in with this policy, and this family wanted some sort of recognition in Naples, and so that was just in there. They may be looking at giving Naples a donation into a program there.
So if I want to sponsor a bench or something, come to you guys when I say sponsor, just a bench.
Yeah.
No writing or anything like that.
Yeah. If you were
that would be a donation through USFD 1.
Yeah. If you're like, hey, I walk this trail every day and really needs a bench here, and it has nothing to do with anything else, and I just want to support a bench there.
Okay.
That kind of opportunity would be like, but it would be more like, hey, as a citizen, yeah, if you need a bench here, we're going to probably put a bench here. So.
And I'll donate the money if I need to.
Yeah, and I
think, but it'd be a,
I think something like that, it wouldn't necessarily, because if there's a need for something like that, then we want to address those needs as well.
Any other questions or comments for Sheriff?
I need one of those for the minutes, please.
If you have it. You borrow one of the, okay. I mean, I have just,
we're okay.
Mine, I have those on
there. Thank you. That's it.
We'll get you one, no problem.
So after, I was supposed to go to Ballard last night, and our representative there had, anyway, so in 2 weeks, I'll go to Ballard, make this formal, and then pass it back. As an adopted policy at USST 1, and then pass it back to you guys after we talk to legal.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, this is not on there. This will only take a second. I just, as you guys probably get questions about the park, and this is a, you know, and I think you guys do great at just saying, like, that's USST 1, but prospecting or metal detecting, that is a hot item. We do have a patron and conduct rule, and it actually spells out prospecting, and it is, they have to get permission in the form of permit. It doesn't cost anything, but we have had to put in, there is absolutely, from April 1st to October 31st is the only window that you could get a permit to prospect, but that is prohibited in any drought years, which is this year of all years. And so that's just something that people are having a hard time understanding. Otherwise, if you're digging in a hole in the park in very weak grass, you're going to cause a problem to it. So if you get those calls about prospecting, just send them our way. They do like to see the rule. So we give it to them, but that just helps us, especially in this year, keeping people from digging holes in the park.
Are these rules on your website?
Yes, and they're called patron conduct and facility rules. And they also address, the parks only have a few, they address reservations, they address, you know, fireworks, and they address the leash, the ordinance for, it's a countywide, it's not a park-specific ordinance, but people don't understand that a dog has to be controlled. And so we will let them believe that that's controlled by a leash. But if you have a service dog or a training dog that comes back on one whistle and is controlled by your side, they can be in the park without a leash. Most dogs, unless they're a service dog or a training dog, they don't. So it addresses that as well.
I thought of the dogs, they throw their frisbees too.
Yes. If, and that is okay, if that dog runs away, jumps on somebody, barks at somebody, that's not controlled. So they do have to be able to claim and show that that dog will come immediately back and fight it, to not have to be controlled by a leash.
I know that's why there has been talk for dog park.
Yeah. Who wants a dog park?
Silver Pines actually had one. I don't know if they still do, but they had one.
That's that smell. Just kidding.
Sonya there, she can speak to it more if she wanted to, but there is a new web.
Yes, there is a new website.
Will be more thorough.
Really user-friendly. And mobile friendly too, so you can get on there. We have linked, I talked to the chamber yesterday, because there is always, when we talk about the website and the public website, so I've made a direct link to get right to our public website, so they get the agendas and all of that. Really easy, but it's, and you can find these rules really easy there. So. All right, now that Lauren's here, I guess we can stop talking about it.
Are you leaving?
I am. Do I have to stay?
No, but I
got three things wrote on my paper.
Oh, sorry.
No, we're not going to talk it in here.
No.
So we need to talk.
Okay.
You can go. You just,
I don't know what to do.
You just can't go forever.
Can I look at your paper and then decide if I want to leave or not?
But do turn your mic off for us.
Yeah. Thank you.
You should have gone to Ballard
last night. Michael, thank you. I should have gone in
there. To laying down on the job.
Are you showing the paper?
I don't want to have that conversation here.
Perfect. No, <I'm laughs>
road maintenance agreement, Nolan Scott.
Commissioners, I have a road maintenance agreement, Nolan Scott and Teresa Brewer. It is for a Class D road that is leading to their property. It's kind of hard to see, but the blue line is the Taylor Mountain Road. The right where Y is right here is where it goes to the old power plant road. They are wanting this road that goes from here up to this property, approximately 2 miles. The agreement is just simply for maintenance.
Is that a gravel road?
No, it's about a 16, maybe 18 foot wide two-track road. They have property at the top. It's all Sitla. It goes across all of Sitla. And I have talked to Sitla and made them aware as well.
And they didn't have a problem with it?
Nope. Okay. It's, like I said, it's just maintenance. It's not any improvements, just maintenance.
And this is saying then that they're going to maintain it?
They won't maintain it. Just in spots that the trees are growing over, that they can't get their vehicles through, and hills and dips that they're having trouble getting over, just maintaining like
if
that.
If they want to do something to help make that passable and feasible. Yeah. Okay.
Within the disturbance.
Right. All right. Deanna, ordinance 04-22, 02601, amending county code 17-33.020, section 11, removing beehive limits.
Thank you. So while he's getting that pulled up, the state last year changed the policy on what counties are allowed to regulate when it comes to beehives. We are not allowed to regulate the number of beehives that a property owner has or the location of the beehives. So we are changing a couple of our... from here.
I moved to South Wall, but not...
Okay, there it is. Woo-hoo. Thank you. Okay, so in one section of our code, in the urban livestock, which is areas that are less than half an acre and don't allow the agricultural animal allowances that the other zones allow, they're able to have some agricultural animals. One of those things listed was beehives. So we're just removing the regulation that we had on bees, which was that you could only have one hive on their property with one, no more than one swarm per hive. So we removed that. And then we removed all beehives must be set back a minimum of 25 feet from the property line since we cannot regulate where they keep them. And then these other, okay, so should a beehive become populated with Africanized honeybees, it must be destroyed. We removed that just because that is already regulated by the state. So while we're removing everything else as it is with bees, we just thought we'd remove everything. And then the next two regulations, we just removed the reference to bees. Those two will still remain. All urban livestock shall be kept in a fashion as to be contained and prevent them from exiting the property, and then a combination of no more than six total animals may be kept. And we just removed, again, the reference to these in those two. So that is number three, and we'll have an ordinance for that to present at the next regular meeting. Number four.
Can I ask a question, Commissioners? On the bees and the beehives, I know my son lives in Ballard, and there's bees at a farm on the other side. They like to come over to his water because he doesn't water his bees, and bees still need water. So is, I mean, how do you, bee, you stay on your side of, you know.
So you're asking that, if they regulate that? Or
yeah, is that part of these regulations here or?
Not for the county. The county won't regulate that at all. The county didn't regulate that before either.
That's why I was wondering.
You didn't make it so that you had to keep your bees on the property. I don't know how you could.
That's why I don't either.
Yeah.
I would suggest you look at the state.
Yeah,
the bees.
The agriculture.
And see if there's anything in there or talk to the state.
I think they're pretty lenient.
I think they are.
Yes.
From what we've seen, it looks like they're pretty lenient.
Is there anything that owner of the beehive needs to make sure he keeps water for them?
There might be something under the
because, they're going to pollinate and they're going to go anywhere. But is,
turn your mic on, Mike.
Sorry. Is there regulation that the beekeeper needs to make sure they have water?
That they're taking care of them, basically.
In the industry, they have lost so many bees. I understand why they're doing that over the last few years. And, you know, you lose the bees, that's life. So I think John could probably address this with animal control. John, would you make sure the bees
can
walk
all
you want to?
No, they don't regulate bees.
Make sure they put up their bee fences. No, they'll travel a couple miles. So.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it doesn't. It, whether it's
but it makes a difference
at the next door or whether it's
if he calls them and says, "Would you make sure you got water over there?" And he waters them, and then they know that's where the water's.
Feed them, insecticide them, the whole nine yards. They get the little mites that kill them. There's a lot to taking care of bees.
Yeah,
that's all.
Okay, so then number four deals with the definition in the administrative manual for animal units. Currently we have in there that two beehives is considered one animal unit. We'll remove that so that that's not regulated, how many they can have. So we're going to remove that from the administrative manual and present that also at the next regular meeting as a resolution. And that's all I have on beehives. Is there any questions there?
Just for clarification, that was resolution of 422-25R1. 26.
Keep going back to 25?
I like 25.
Okay, and then number five is ordinance 04-22-2026-02, and then the county codes 1733-20, subsection 31, and subsection 32. And both these ordinances are to allow small homes, such as tiny homes. We'll look at them one at a time. So the manufactured home part, we wanted to, the Planning Commission decided to add these two regulations. Pre-built or site-built homes that meet either the IRC or HUD standards, example, tiny homes, may be allowed in manufactured home parks, and then all homes in a manufactured home park must meet the foundation system requirements found in the manufactured housing as permanent dwellings appendix of the International Residential Code. And I guess I should have kind of given a little bit of background. We've had quite a few phone calls in the last year or two of people wanting to have some sort of an RV park or like a tiny home park for people to live in. So after talking to the Planning Commission, we went through this probably three meetings now and trying to either come up with something new or they finally decided just to add this to the manufactured home park and the RV parks to allow
tiny homes, which we're not going to call them tiny homes because there's so many different definitions of tiny home, like whether you're dealing with the building code or with mortgages and other types of loans. And so what we're allowing, so in this case, in the manufactured home park, is just any pre-built home or site-built home, really of any size, as long as it meets the IRC or HUD standards and is set on the foundation system that's in the IRC for manufactured housing, can be set in a manufactured home park in this case. And then we'll do the same thing with the RV parks, looking at that one. They have started making some, they look like little cabins or something, but they're on a permanent wheels. They're part of the trailer. So they are transportable. People take them up on the mountains camping. So we wanted to find a way to allow that in RV parks. So this one says homes that are permanently attached to wheels and do not require a permit to be transported, for example, tiny homes, may be allowed in RV parks. And then this is left totally up to the property owners, the RV park and the manufactured home park owners. So they don't, if something comes rolling in, because they get a lot of things that are like the buses that they've turned into campers or whatever, or they've seen some of these that have no way to drain the home, they don't have to allow anything that they don't feel is safe for their park or that is set up to be used in an RV park or in a mobile home park. So do you have any questions on that? Kind of jumped around a little.
Does it already regulate a size, though, in those parks and stuff that they can't exceed a certain? Because I know some of the travel trailers have become quite large. So
yeah.
There's not anything that restricts size or anything.
There's
what?
Distances. Yeah.
That's why we put in there that if they need a permit to transport them, that's usually going to be where the size is too large.
Like if it's an oversized.
It's going to be an oversized load, so they need a special permit to transport it. Those aren't allowed.
But yeah, I think that's. And if it's something huge that. I think the RV park owner could turn away anything they didn't think was going to work in their park.
Deanna did, maybe you can talk to him about the one RV park owner that did call and talk to you. I mean, they have their own rules as far as what they allow to plug into their systems, and it's usually not homemade stuff.
Yeah.
USBs.
Yeah, she said they're concerned. They'll have some that are just a homemade, some threw it together themselves, and you can't hook it up to their system. And he said, well, I just take it over here and I'll just drain it in your whatever, some septics. And she's like, no, you can't do that. So she was more concerned that they aren't going to be required to allow anything, especially where, like I said, that tiny home phrase is just kind of thrown around, like everyone's calling everything a tiny home if it's small. So they're allowed, and we want to make sure that they are allowed but not required to have them there.
That's funny.
Non-spacious.
Non-spacious.
Anything else? Any other questions, comments, or one? Discussion and sale of real property. Mike.
Okay, commissioners, we'll get this one back on over here. Commissioners, this piece of property here is a third of an acre. It's 0.35 of an acre. It was taken in the 2013 tax sale for lack of painting. Nobody bid on it. It is part of a river bottom, creek bottom right there. I have spoken with the county assessor. She has given me a current market value. Here's White Rocks, just so you can kind of see where it's at. It's west of White Rocks, almost on the county line. We have had an individual come to the county requesting to purchase that property. And in reviewing the county real property, not in public use, and I've talked with Lauren about that, this what this is. Basically, you approve it in a public meeting, no public hearings required. Commission shall approve the sale of each realty during any special regular scheduled meetings. So you just need to say, yep, you're okay to put that on the on the public surplus website, and my thinking, I don't know if we want to go for 100% of market value, or if we say, we can put a minimum bid, I guess. We want to get market value, but if we say this is the minimum bid, then we're going to be trying to get more than market value of it. But if we went 80% of market value, say this is our minimum bid, you can bid from there on it. And I was going to notify there are two other adjoining landowners in addition to the one that's actually came to it. So just want to preview it to let you know what it is, that it's, that's where it's at. And then if you, with you guys' permission, we can put it on the agenda for May 12th. And you say put it on the...
Is there access to it other than adjacent land?
There is actually right here. Here's a county road. So it's right on a county road right here. And if you follow that county road... it actually comes down, and this is the gentleman that's interested in it. But we can't just say, okay, you can buy it, because it is public property. We need to put it on an auction site, and whoever bids gets it. And then the sale will come back for your final approval. We will only be issuing a quitclaim deed. We would not issue a warranty deed, because we did take it in tax sale. It has been long enough, according to title companies, that it's pretty clear that it's the county's, that we could do something different, but I would recommend nothing but a quitclaim deed to it. So if you guys are interested, we can put it on the agenda. And auction it off.
I believe the sale price should also cover the back taxes.
Right.
And the fees that you have to collect with that, correct?
Correct. Anything, so the county won't, we get the taxes, interest, and penalty, and our system, Ryan did it many years ago, because it hasn't been taxed since 2013. We can go back and apply tax, interest, and penalty from 2013, plus what we had prior to that, and any fees that we can assess to it, so that we can try our best to capture any of this monies. If it sells for way more than the monies, goes to unclaimed properties in the name of the original owner that we took it, that didn't pay the taxes back in 2008.
Are we able, so we basically, we can't list it at market value because we can only get what we...
We still
we
have
owe,
to sell
correct?
It per market
With
value.
Fees,
right, right.
We can't put market value on it? Or
yes,
we can.
Yes.
Okay, I thought tax sales only were to recoup the fees. And
this is
that's
a tax sale.
This is, we took it in tax sale, so it is now the county's property.
Right, so
because
sale.
No one bought it.
Because no one bought
sale.
It.
So now it's under different set of rules.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
It's our property, and if no one meets the minimum bid or whatever, it's still our
we
property.
Don't, yeah, we don't sell it.
Okay.
If no one bids our minimum, if were you okay if we did a,
yeah.
As county assessor, if we said... this, and we can not disclose what the minimum bid is. And that's why I've been careful not to say what the market value is. It's not very much. But hey, you got prime real estate in a creek.
Yeah.
May or may not have water in it sometimes.
So back in 1992, you guys did the surplus sale on a lot of properties. Look to see if there's more properties to unload. We have a lot of tax sale properties out there that people might be interested in, do a full-blown surplus sale. That was done back in 92 with a sealed bid.
Some of those properties, without saying a lot, may be paying us oil royalties right now. So
some of them, yes.
We just, but we can look at what we have, and Brenda has acquired that list. So if we want to do further researching all the properties, we can sure do that.
I have that list, and it does show what the properties are and what year we acquired them. I put on there so that we don't have to try to figure it out every time. I add at the end the year that we acquired it in the tax sale. A lot of those I've also put notes on it as part of a road or whatever.
Right.
And some of those are not. So it might be something to look at.
It's better for things like this to be in the public use than just
yeah.
be sitting there. So
Yeah, we might want to do that.
But a lot of them are like this. A lot of them are landlocked. You can't get to them anyway. But some of them are. We can look at all those.
And the only reason this one came up is because the landowner came and told us about it. So.
Would we need to have more discussion questions in a public meeting? Because, like, I would have several questions as you get into this. You know, things like, if it's landlocked, can we just sell it to an adjacent property owner without going through surplus? Can we, you know?
And it's county property, so
county
we have
to do surplus.
And even this guy who wanted it, we still have to give other people the opportunity to...
And in this instance, I would let that individual know, along with the adjoining landowners that's right by it. And Willis wants it, I can tell.
One more problem. I'm still trying to place it sit by the Uinta River. But
yours is south, so if you go down a little bit.
Yeah, you're way up here.
Yeah, you're not far from it.
Yeah, this is something that might help you. This is Roosevelt City's water tanks. Where do I see them? Right here. This property right here is owned by Roosevelt City. And I'm assuming they might have a water well here or something that's feeding their city. I just can tell two big old water tanks. If that helps you out at all, Willis.
I think it's over.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost right on the county line. But I did notice this, and this is Roosevelt City, and I thought, I'll bet you this is a treatment plant, maybe, that they treat water. I'm just guessing. Never driven over there to that part, so I don't know. The year we took it in tax sale, we didn't even try to get to it because it was so far and remote.
I would like to see it. Look at all the problems.
But we can look at all of them.
Like, that'd be wise. Look at all of them, see what we've got. Trying to get to it on the roads, Mike, they might not get much.
It's a new travel policy, you might not be able to get on that road.
That's true.
That's true.
Okay. I'll put this one on and we'll look at the others and bring it to another work session on the others.
Okay.
I'm
your turn. Thank you all.